Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller. I'm pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Doug Thompson, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice Degree Program. Thank you very much for coming on today, Doug.
Hi, you're welcome.
Today we're going to be talking about homicide, something that we all think we know about, but most of us don't actually know anything about. So what is homicide exactly?
Well, homicide is when one person kills another person. That's as simple as it gets. It often gets confused with murder. Murder is a legal term where you've been found guilty of an illegal homicide. Mm-hmm. That's basically the difference. But the term is variable, but it basically comes down to person A kills person B.
Right. So is there a specific area of homicide that we're usually looking at? First-degree murders?
Well, the first degree, second degree, is up to the courts.
Okay.
Generally, from a criminological point of view, what you're trying to do is work out the patterns and rates of generally people killing each other inside the city. So one of the things we do is look at the big sets of numbers over years. We look at the gender of the offender and the victim, their relationship, the weapon used, all this kind of thing, to see if there's any shifting patterns or anything like that.
Right, so that kind of leads into my next question. Is homicide in these terms a problem in Canada, or even more specifically in Toronto?
Well, this is the interesting thing. It depends what you classify as a problem, because if you are the victim, then it is a very, very, very big problem. Canada is incredibly safe. Unfortunately, we get a lot of media coming up from the States, and it sort of spills over, and it's also the big thing in most of the media, if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
So if a homicide occurs, you'll really hear about it. So what we do is we look at statistics. So you take the number of homicides that have occurred in, let's say, Toronto over a 12-month period, and you divide that by the population to give you a rate per 100,000. And this allows us to compare homicides today in Toronto to 50 years ago, or compare Toronto's homicide rate to Canada's overall or to other cities. So Toronto had 66 homicides last year. And this gives us a rate of around 1.35 per 100,000. Canada in itself has a rate of around 1.2. Now, Toronto is incredibly safe. Edmonton and Winnipeg have a homicide rate of 2.8. So
wow.
It's higher than Toronto. But if we take a little trip down to the United States, Baltimore has a homicide rate of 55 per 100,000, and St. Louis, Missouri has a homicide rate of 60. 100,000. So there's the irony for me as a researcher when people are saying, oh, the homicide rate in Toronto is terrible. As an academic, I'm going, no, seriously, 66 people being murdered is a terrible thing, but on a bigger scheme of things, we are incredibly safe.
Right, so it's safe to say that in terms of this year in 2018, there's X amount of homicides, the news media is going crazy saying that there's all these murders in Toronto, Toronto's unsafe, so it's safe to say that they're making it seem a lot more prominent or making people fear more.
Yes, any homicide is a terrible thing,
mm-hmm.
But it's more complicated than just a homicide, because in my mind, the homicide rate varies beyond just the act itself. So if, for instance, you pick up a gun right now and shoot me, and so we're sitting here at Humber, one of the things is your act might not kill me. You might shoot me, hit me in the arm, now that's an assault. You might hit me, but it's going to take, you might shoot me in a vital organ, but because I can get to a hospital within 10 minutes, I'll probably live. If I'm in some poor rural community, or way up north in Northwest Territories, it might take me 3 to 4 hours. So now, if I get to the hospital and live, it's not a murder, it's not a homicide, it's an assault. But if you do the same act, and we're in the middle of Algonquin Park, it becomes a homicide.
Right.
So it's kind of weird how it's not just the act, it's all these other factors that might lead into it.
So why does it occur at all?
Homicide is the end result of an assault, generally. And what you're looking at is, from a criminological point of view, assaults are not well recorded. Homicides are well recorded, and there's a general agreement throughout the world what a homicide is. It's your body lying there and they have been beaten to death or stabbed or shot. With an assault, a lot of assaults are never recorded, never reported, so that goes into the big dark figure of crime. But homicide is the most accurate level that we can measure assaults. So the homicide rate actually gives you an indication of the level of violence inside the society. And what we can then do is go into the actual data. So I can basically work out risk factors. So in Canada, for example, Aboriginals are vastly overrepresented in homicides. They represent 25% of the victims of homicides, but they're not 25% of the population. Mm-hmm. Vastly overrepresented. We can look at who the victim is and who the assailant is. Now, when you watch the TV, it's a complete stranger. Strangers don't kill you. The majority of times, 87% of the time, the victim knows the offender. Stranger killing is rare. If it is stranger killing, it's generally gang-related or crime-related, mm-hmm. rather than just a random serial killer, which makes for good movies, but doesn't actually work in real life. Males, 71% of the victims of homicide, and are 88% of the people who commit homicides. If you're a woman, you're going to be murdered by a man, and it's more than likely going to be your partner or husband. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a child, it's going to be your father. If you're a woman, you'll probably be killed at home on the weekend, and your partner will be drunk, and you'll be beaten to death or stabbed. In Canada, people stab each other. That's the majority of homicides. So stabbing is 37% of homicides, shooting is 30%. Of those, the majority are handguns. And that's different to the States. The majority of homicides in the States are guns, handguns.
Right.
Guns do kill people. Guns make it really, really, really easy to kill people. If I'm going to beat you to death with my fist or stab you, the problem is you're going to wriggle and run away, which is kind of logical. With a gun, I can stand at a further away distance. I don't need any physical strength. I don't need any skill. I can just pull the trigger and kill you. And guns are much more lethal. That's what they're designed mm-hmm. to do. So the whole thing here is that what we can do is work out who is at most at risk.
Yeah, so I guess that leads me to the next question, is how do we reduce it? Looking at people at risk, it's the pressing question that everyone's always asking.
So, the key thing is, and if you look at it cross-nationally, some countries have far higher homicide rates than others. So in the United States, for example, it's a cool example of the difference between Canada and the States. Why does Canada have such a low homicide rate in comparison to the States? One of the key things is that weapons are so easy to get hold of in the States. And so it just makes the killing higher. So in the States, whenever there's a mass shooting, you have people coming up and saying, oh no, it's evil. Evil is a very difficult term to categorize and study in terms of criminology, and the United States is not more evil than another country. But there are lots and lots of weapons. The people doing the killings are generally a very small part of the population, the normal murders. And here you link into the theory. So one of the key things that explains this is subculture theory. So if you believe I must carry a gun, I must carry a knife, if my partner cheats on me, I have to defend my honor by attacking her or killing her. You have to change the culture. So in certain cultures where violence is supported and encouraged, you're going to have a higher homicide rate.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing is, on a much bigger level, one of the key differences between countries with high and low homicide rates is actual economic inequality.
Right.
So it's not overall poverty rates, but it's, if you have a country where you've got very, very, very rich people and very, very, very poor people, the homicide rate is higher. If there's more economic equality, mm-hmm. homicide rate is lower.
Interesting.
Which taps into Marxist theory. kind of crazy. So if you look at certain countries, they've got just low homicide rates.
So interesting. We could go on and on about homicide. But to give us a bit of a snapshot, thank you so much for coming on Criminal Justice Knowledge today. As always, there's more information that can always be had. But that's Criminal Justice Knowledge, and I'm Natalie Miller. Thanks for listening.